Hiya, welcome to the Curb Podcast. My name is Andrew Pearce, and this podcast is recorded in the lands of the Whadjuk people, of Perth region, and a pair of respects to the elders, past, present, and emerging. On this episode, I chat with new author Monica Vu about her first novel, When One of Us Hurts. This is a tight thriller set in a small coastal town where tragedy has struck the region, with a baby being abandoned in a lighthouse while a teenager is drowned. These two events may seem disparate and not associated with one another, but as we get to learn about the stories of Livy and Marie, we find that they are connected. Monica's writing vividly brings their stories to life, leading to a gripping conclusion. In this interview, Monica talks about how she started writing and the transition from living in Dubai to moving to Tasmania with her partner. When One of Us Hurts is published by Pam Macmillan Australia, and a copy of this book was provided for this interview. It is now available through all good bookstores in Australia. And to listen to other interviews or to read other interviews, make sure to head over to thecurb.com.au. And for now, here is Monica Vu talking about When One of Us Hurts. Hey, congratulations for the launch of your book. You must be beyond excited.
it's been a crazy couple of days. It's been a lot of fun though.
How does it feel? How does it feel for you to, you know, get your baby out into the world?
It feels a little surreal every time I get tagged in a person holding a copy of my book. I'm like, oh my God, they're gonna read it. Well, I hope. it feels pretty exciting. Feels good.
Let's flash back to when you first sat down and started to write this. What was your mind set then, and what you're going to be going through for the next few years, I guess, is probably the case, I imagine.
Okay. Well, when I first sat down to write, I had no idea what to do, actually, so I had to Google it. Like a millennial, I Googled how to write. So that's the short story. So I was living in Dubai at the time before I moved to Tassie. So I moved to Tassie in 2019 to be with my partner. Before that, I was living in Dubai working as a flight attendant. So I had no experience writing whatsoever. And when I got here, we were living in very remote places, very rural places. So I had to fill up my time with activities, and reading was one of them. So I went to the Tassie libraries, thank God for them, they're a lifesaver. So I started packing, you know, the old tote bag full of library books. And in between reading Stephen King, Richard Yates, I was like, I'm gonna give this writing thing a try. So I just Googled it. So I Googled how to write a book, and then I found a site that said from the novelry, and it was like how to write a book in 90 days. And I did it, and I had a book in 90 days. It wasn't very good, but.
Was it just kind of sitting there and having that dedication to then go, I'm gonna put X amount of words down on a page today?
The site was really, really good for beginner writers, I think, because like I said, I had no experience. I sat down and it was just stream of conscious writing. So it was pretty much not really a set amount of words, but it was an hour every day. Yeah. And, you know, the teacher, Louise Dean, who's an author herself, she's a lovely woman. She said, don't like go crazy and write everything. Write a little bit so that you build into the habit.
And I imagine obviously starting out, as you're saying, you hadn't written before, but there is that like self-criticism. We all do it, you know, especially I'm a millennial too. So I know that I sit there and I go, oh gosh, what I'm doing, is it actually worthwhile? Is it interesting? How did you manage that as you're starting off?
Oh my God, of course we have that. Absolutely. I have a very, very supportive partner. And every time I have one of those days, he sits me down and he just, you know, reminds me, you're just having a bad day. Calm down and tomorrow will be a different day.
Let's talk about then, obviously you moved to Tasmania. What was that experience like and getting there and living there? And, you know, especially having lived in Dubai as well, that's polar opposite kinds of worlds. So what's that like there?
Actually, that was a huge part of writing the book. So yes, moving from Dubai, coming to Tassie, where were all the people? Where were the bars, the clubs, the nightclubs, the malls? All of that was missing. And then, you know, all of a sudden there was like trees and mountains and land, so much land. And then, you know, like you look outside your window, there's animals. What? There's birds. Wildlife and wallabies. It was like being in, like falling down the Alice rabbit hole and being Snow White. It was lovely. It was magical, but very, very challenging. Very, very challenging. So that played a huge part into writing the book, just like the feeling of displacement, of being so like a fish out of water, being so isolated, being so remote. All of the my feelings, I've got it jotted down on the page, so it comes out every now and then in the book. Like I said, I love Tazzy. There's a certain magic here that just fuels creativity. But it was definitely an adjustment. I'm happy to say I think I've adjusted now. Like I'm okay now. But when I was first starting out in 2019, gosh, the libraries and the writing was a huge help.
You know, Tasmania does really play quite a bit into the actual narrative itself. There is that vibrancy of the nature and everything too. But I'm curious, you've got two different characters and you balance between two different voices. How did you make sure that you were actually, you know, dedicating one personality to one character and one personality to the other so that they shone through strongly and as unique people?
That was a huge editing process, I would say. When I edited it, I wouldn't edit the book from beginning to end. I would edit all of Lucy's parts first and then all of Marie's parts after, or vice versa. And I did it in chunks so that their voice never left my head, their mannerisms, their cadence, their vocabulary never left me for too long before I would edit the next day. But yeah, no, it had to be days of being in their heads instead of, you know, chopping and changing every chapter as you're reading it. Yeah, no, it didn't. The editing wasn't like...
As you're saying, you're living with them in your head. And I'm curious if, like, you know, if you're cooking dinner or, you know, tidying the house or something like that, and you're going, oh, Marie would do it this way, or Livia would do it this way. Was that something that happened to you as you were kind of writing the story and going through your life at the time?
Not while I was doing my daily things. I would say, oh, hey, Marie would do this. No, but definitely when I was out speaking to people, or if I heard something, I would say that is something Marie would say. And then that got adopted into the book a lot. So no, it was, yeah, no, I don't think so.
it's an observation which I've had for some people, is that, you know, as I was saying, they see the world through their character's eyes, and it's so hard when you're dealing with something like a mystery as well, because, you know, there is, you want to keep your characters on the toes, but you also want to keep the readers on their toes as well, never kind of being able to guess where things are going. So I'm curious for you, as you're writing this, how you manage to kind of keep the readers on your toes about, you know, what's actually going to be revealed and when you're actually going to reveal it as you're going along. Because that's what I found, is that I had no idea where it was going to go. I didn't know how it was going to end. And it's nice when that happens, because that's what you want from these kinds of stories. So I'm curious how you managed to pull that off.
Well, like I said, I'm a reader first. Like, you know, I'm a reader first, I'm a writer second. And I think when I read it back to myself, I would leave it and I wouldn't touch it for a while. Like, you know, following the wise words of Stephen King, you leave it in the desk, you let it marinate, and then you come back to it. And then if you read it yourself as just a reader, not as a writer, and then you see that there are some pockets where, hey, this could be a really good opportunity to be surprised, or you say, oh, this is better off suited, you know, a little bit later. So I think you just have to, I did that a lot. You have to let it marinate, you come back to it, and then slowly but surely you create this tension in these moments, and it's beautiful. And yeah, I think that's how you just have to keep reading it over and over as a reader, not as a writer.
How do you personally balance that reader and writer? How do you take one hat off and put the other hat on?
I think once you put it aside, you create some distance to yourself and the fact that you've just created this whole thing. So maybe it's kind of like, I'm not a parent, but maybe as a parent, it's kind of like not seeing your child for a long time back and then getting to know them as a person, not as your child, maybe getting to see what their hobbies are. And so I think that's probably what the book is. You know, you come back to it, you read it over again and you're like, okay, so this is kind of a, you're not reading it. Yeah. You're not thinking, oh, I made this. You're thinking, okay, so this isn't bad, but it could be better. You do the best you can as a writer and to split your time as a reader and a writer, I think.
Like, as you're writing, do you read other things that are in the same genre, or do you kind of distance yourself from it and try and say, I'm writing in this genre, I don't want to read that, so I'm influenced by it?
Okay, well, to be fair, when I was writing this book, although I was reading a lot of dark-themed books, so, you know, like Lita, Revolutionary Road, I would argue was a little dark. What else is I reading? Shirley Jackson. They're not really crime books per se, are they? They're just really darker themed books. So maybe that helped it a bit, was that I wasn't reading crime specifically and, you know, saying, ooh, this is a great idea that I could put in this red herring, blah, 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 or whatever all those technical terms are. I was just reading the vibe, reading the theme, reading the moods, and then that infused into the writing. And then if you writing it yourself, you can surprise yourself if you're not influenced by all the tricks of the trade of what genre you're already reading.
I'm curious as well, because there is so much Australiana in here as well, like the words and things like that feel very natural. And I'm curious, obviously, as somebody who is new to Australia, you know, how did you make sure that you got the right dialect, the right wording for the characters and the words that you use there?
Well, luckily, when I was writing it, I had a mentor who's an Australian filmmaker, Ian Pringle. So he read drafts after drafts after drafts with me. So luckily, he was very harsh, very harsh, lovable but harsh man. But he was, you know, that's totally American. What are sidewalks? Nobody uses cell phones. It's a mobile here. So he would go through the manuscript, cross off words. I was sitting right next to him because we would, and I would just, just one shot after the other. And luckily I had my mother-in-law read it and I had my partner read it. They're both Australian. So, and then my brother-in-law as well. So they were all too happy to correct some words for me and say, this is absolutely Australian or not.
It rings true, and it's really quite, you know, it's nice to see that kind of authenticity. And I imagine, you know, you mentioned Ian Pringle, he's, you know, a great filmmaker, but I imagine there might be some talks of film like adaptations and stuff like that down the line. How do you feel about like people engaging with your work and then maybe down the line re-envisioning it on film or TV or something like that? Is that something that you're hoping might happen, or is it not in your mind right now?
Well, now that you've put it there, filmmaker, he was reading and he was saying, oh, this could be a pretty great film if they did it correctly. That's way too far for me, I think. Like, I'm just pretty excited that the book is out there and people are going to be reading it. Should they turn it into a movie, I would love to see it. I wonder who would play the characters. Oh my goodness. And they would have to film it. I would hope they'd film it in Tassie. That would be great. And then, that would be amazing. Haven't thought about it, but that would be amazing.
So now it's out in the world, which is really exciting. What do you hope that people get from the book? What kind of, before they pick it up, and this is part of the reason why, because it is such a mystery, it's part of the reason why I've kept away from talking about the plot so much, because it is the kind of story that I want people to engage with without actually really knowing all too much, because that's the joy of these kinds of stories. But I'm curious for you, when people pick it up, what do you want them to get away from the book, take away from it, rather?
Well, I think as a reader, I like to obviously be entertained. It has to have been satisfying. And so I want to surprise them. I want to shock them. I want to make them feel feelings. And if it changes them in some way, you know, like, because I wrote it as a stream of consciousness from the character's perspective of, anyways, we're not going to talk about the plot, but just if the characters somehow manage to change the reader to look at certain things in a different way, That would be pretty cool. But entertainment, I hope that they enjoy it. That's my number one thing. It is. It's for them.
Well, it is very entertaining, and it's a lot of fun to read. As soon as I finished reading it, my mum loves these kinds of books, and so I passed it along to her, and she was super excited as well, which is great. But I also want to talk about quickly too, just the cover design too, if you don't mind, because I love the cover design. It is so, it's haunting. It's a little bit, it leads you into this darkness quite well. What was it like when you first saw the cover for the book?
It was beautiful. It was like you said, it was very eerie, gloomy, atmospheric. It was all the thing that I hoped encompasses my novel. So it was perfect. And then the lighthouse, because then you see the cover, you see the blue first and the clouds, and you're like, oh yeah. And then you see the lighthouse is there, and it's just, that's perfect, because that's obviously where the deaths are. So you've got the scene of the crime, and then you've got the crows in the background who are an integral part of Port Brighton, the town. And it felt really good. And then I had a chat with my agent. She's like, oh my God. And I was like, oh, I know. I loved it. I loved the cover. Yeah, it was beautiful. Beautifully made by Pan Macmillan, I must say, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, that's the thing, like, you're with Pan Macmillan, which is like, that's not a small place. So what's that like to have your first book, released by Pan Macmillan?
Oh my God, it was a dream. It was an absolute dream. When my agent called and told me that Pan was interested, I was like, what is happening? I was so thrilled, because, like I said, no experience in writing. This is my first manuscript ever, and I learned how to write via Google. So I was in a daze for a good month, just listening to some really calming music and just lying on my bed. Every time my partner would look at me, I'd be like off staring at the distance, because I was in such a dreamy daze. Yeah, it was amazing.
So imagine now, like, obviously we're talking about film and stuff like that before, which is, these are things that are in the far future. And it's always a terrible thing to ask an author when they've just released a book, when's your next one? Because, you've just spent so long working on it. But I imagine, you're going to jump into it. It's got to happen. Is that right? Is this the kind of genre and field that you're going to work in again?
Well, so when I was writing this first book, when I was writing When One of Us Hurts, and when I was doing the editing phase, and there were some days where, like you said, where you were thinking, what am I even doing? What is this? Those days were, I knew that, times would be tough ahead. So looking ahead, I started a book right away while I was editing this book, because I was like, okay, well, if this one doesn't work out, I'm going to need a backup plan so that I don't completely fall into a mess on the floor. So I started writing my second one already. And it's kind of done. It's in the same genre. I called my editor and I was like, can I write in different genres? This was after this one had to be picked up. She's like, yes, the next one, no, but maybe the future ones, because, you kind of want to branch out, try new things. But no, the next one will be in the same genre. This is fun, very mystery set in Tassie. And yeah, so it's a coming.
I'm looking forward to it. It sounds a little bit like, when you go on a holiday, everybody says that you got to have your next holiday already planned. So that's almost like what you've done. Yeah, it's great.
I was like, I didn't want to be, if it didn't work out, it would have been so upsetting. And that was a real concern for me, that I would just toss up this whole thing in the air and say, forget it. So I had to have plan B.
Well, I'm looking forward to reading it. You've done a great job with this one. I'm excited to see what the reaction is from everybody as well. Because, yeah, how are you going to deal with that? Like, that's, are you going to read reviews? Are you going to seek out opinions and stuff like that? Or are you going to kind of distance yourself from it? It's a really hard thing to do, isn't it?
Oh, what did you do?
Mine was a book of interviews. So, interviews with filmmakers. So they're all going to like it regardless, which is a really hard thing, because it's like, I want positive feedback or I want negative feedback so I know what to do for the next one. So it wasn't a narrative book, but That was a little bit different. But for you, I imagine like it's a narrative book. Like I know for a lot of filmmakers that I talk to, they're like, I'm not reading any reviews. I've made it, I'm putting it away, which I can completely understand.
Oh, I wish I had the power and strength to do that. I know myself. I'm not gonna, I will be reading the reviews probably. I'm gonna, I my Pat McMillan did say to watch out for, the really, really bad ones. Don't take those personally. But I mean, I want to see what the readers are saying. I want to see if I've done my job, if I've surprised them, if I've, entertained them. So no, I would love to read. I do want to see the reaction. And like I said, even if I didn't, I wouldn't have the power to stop myself anyway. So.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Well, from an honest perspective, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun. It surprised me. It kept me engaged. And that's really all you want from a book like this. Like, you want to be entertained and engaged and surprised at the end. You want to reach that final page and go, wow, I didn't expect when I first picked it up to end up there. And that's what's happened. So, congratulations, Monica. You've done a great job.
Oh, I'm so pleased to hear you say that. Yes.